What's up, everybody? My name's Dustin, and this is the Sweet Science Class Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, Sweet Science Class family. This is episode 8, and today's going to be a little bit different. It feels like I say that every episode. We're always slightly changing, but that's good. It keeps it fresh and original, possibly. Fortunately, today, we had our plans. We were going to do a 2-episode drop this week and a couple 3-way things, but Felix had something come up, something pretty important he couldn't get out of, so he's dealing with that. So we're going to just condense this down to 1 episode this week. We're just going to do this 1 episode. It's me and Sergio together. He's already on the line, and we're just going to touch a little bit on the fights that happened this last weekend, mostly Canelo. We'll touch on the fights coming up this weekend, give some quick opinions, and then we're going to end this episode with some pretty cool news that Sergio's going to share with us that he just found out. It's pretty big, but we'll save that to the end, and I'll let him get to that. So, now that we got Sergio waiting, what's up, Sergio?
Doing well, man. How about yourselves, Dustin?
Doing good. So, let's kick it off with the Friday fight. We won't get into Saturday yet. The Zerto Williams versus Jesse Hart rematch. Did you get a chance to watch that?
Absolutely. In fact, just off the bat, I'm going to call it the best fight this weekend, in my opinion, was the Ramirez versus Hart bout.
For sure. I agree.
I couldn't believe it. Man breaks his hands. And if anyone out there, I'm sure many people have broken many bones, hands, fingers, whatever. Well, I've broken both femurs and both legs. Let me tell you, if you don't go into shock after breaking a hand because of the pain, oh Lord, are you hating life? And Ramirez comes at Hart with a broken hand to the end, like a soldier, to make sure that Hart doesn't steal the championship rounds. I thought that was the best fight of the weekend. I give it up to Ramirez. And, I mean, phenomenal. Phenomenal card. Phenomenal fight on Friday night on ESPN Plus.
That's how I feel. I thought that was probably the show stealer of the weekend. Hart was winning some rounds. It was a good close fight for anyone that didn't see. Going into the 10th round, it was very conceivable that it was 5 rounds apiece at a draw. You get into the championship rounds, and Zerto, every time he goes back into the corner, they're putting an ice pack on his left elbow. And if you watch the fight, or if you go back and watch the fight, you'll see that he wasn't throwing that left hand. For the last several rounds, he almost made that left hand non-existent. And they kept icing it between rounds, and you could see when he would move it, he would show pain in his face. But in the 12th round, like Sergio touched on, like a freaking warrior, just out of nowhere, you could just see it hit Zerto. I guess he was finally realized, I might lose this fight. I have to snap right now. And that man threw probably 30 with his good hand, his right hand, which is his weak hand. He probably threw 30 rights in a row. I've almost never seen anything like it. Just launching the same arm over and over. And he almost knocked Hart out. And he got so into that onslaught at the end that he even started throwing some left hands. You could tell he was like, screw it, man. And he was throwing big lefts with that hurt arm, hurt elbow. I can't imagine the pain he was feeling. And he squeaked out a very, very, very close decision. And I had no arguments with that 12th round ending and the way he fought with one arm. No complaints on this end. So then you move on into Saturday. And it was, on paper, a pretty good card. And it wasn't the worst, but some of the fights seemed a little flat. The whole event felt a little lackluster as you were going through it all. We'll just see what Sergio. Quick opinions on each one. The Katie Taylor versus Wallstrom fight. I mean, what'd you think? Taylor looked impressive as always. Sergio.
To be honest with you, I caught that fight, And yeah, it was a good fight. It was what it was.
Katie Taylor's just too much. She's making these other females. They'll be pretty good, and they get in there, and it's just one-sided from start to finish. I think Katie,
she might be
the best. She might be the best female boxer in boxing right now.
No, she is the That's a Colombian gal, correct?
I think she's Irish.
Irish.
Yes.
Really?
She's 12-0. I think 13-0 now. Doesn't seem to have a ton of power, but unbelievable skills. She fought the older Serrano sister. I think Cindy Serrano's the older one. She beat her. They want to set it up with Amanda Serrano, the younger undefeated sister. Or I'm getting their names backwards. But yeah, I believe Katie Taylor is Irish or Scottish. And I mean, yeah, she's a threat. Saddam Ali, Mauricio Herrera. What did you think of that fight?
Saddam Ali, to be honest with you, looked old. I'm gonna keep it real. His midsection was flabby. His opponent wasn't as good as he was. As Ali was, but Ali didn't look good at all. In fact, I would actually go out and say that it looked like Ali cooked camp. I'm sorry. I at least that's just the way that I saw that bout.
I thought he looked nothing like the man that we saw beat an older Cotto. We have to, a very, very old Cotto, but he still won, and he dominated that fight. But, yeah, it wasn't the same Saddam Ali that I saw Saturday night against Mauricio Herrera. He just – maybe the Jaime Munguia knockout is in the back of his head, but he just seemed a little gun-shy. It just didn't seem like the same fighter to me.
Look, I'll be honest with you, and I try to keep it real, as always, Sweet Science Class, I try to keep it real. Ali, to me, looked shocked. Yes, in my book, his next fight, whoever it is, I hate putting grades on fighters. I detest it. I detest it. But Ali looked shocked. I've seen his record. He's been fighting for a while. But that Ali that beat Cotto, compared to the Ali that we saw. I mean, night and day difference. Anyone can see that. Anyone with eyes can see that.
And what's very ironic is his opponent, Mauricio Herrera, is also a shot old fighter who looked kind of like you said, Ali had a little bit in the midsection. I've never seen Herrera looking like that. He looked old and flabby, and you could just see that was probably his last go-around. So Ali had the perfect opponent. Herrera's a tricky guy. But he's an older guy who clearly had weight issues and he wasn't in the best shape. And Saddam Ali still looked like he did. So I don't know what to think. I don't know what we're going to see from Saddam Ali moving forward. And I agree. If he gets in there with anybody, top. Because Mauricio Herrera is definitely not that at age 38, 39. If he gets in there with a top welterweight, I think Ali gets pretty messed up at this point. Tevin
Absolutely.
Farmer. What'd you
Absolutely
think about Tevin that. Farmer versus Francisco Fonseca? That was probably the best fight on the DAZN card.
And yes, that one. And believe it or not, and I know that I've poked a lot of fun. Garcia fought again.
Oh yeah.
It was actually the first card of the zone. And well, we're talking about Farmer, but we'll get to Garcia later. Farmer. Fonseca was a tough customer. I mean, I had it 116-112. All three judges had it 117-111. I have no problem with that. But Fonseca wasn't easy. And you can see Farmer when his footwork at least what I saw was Fonseca was reading Farmer's move before Farmer did it, and then would catch him. Because Farmer got hit. And let me tell you, Farmer's footwork is phenomenal, how he turns you around when he dodges. I mean, it's great. He won the bout, no doubt. He did have a tough customer. Whoever thinks Francisco Fonseca went into that fight on Saturday just for the paycheck, got it all wrong. Because he went and he fought. That's just the way I saw the fight.
I agree. I thought Fonseca was definitely there to stay. And I assumed it would probably go 12. I didn't see Farmer putting him out. And definitely not. I agreed with the 9-3, 8-4. It's actually refreshing, though, to see Farmer back so quick. See a champion defend his belt 2 or 3 months after he just defended it. It's pretty nice to see. It doesn't happen that much nowadays.
It makes a lot of money for fighters.
Talking about good old Canelo?
Maybe. Say what you need to say about Ryan Garcia, and we'll just get on to the Canelo, and we'll finish up Saturday.
Yeah, because we did skip Ryan Garcia. And sorry about that, sweet science class. I thought Ryan Garcia, he just switched camp, one, which was not only imminent, but pinnacle in his career, where he's at, right? I know he has 1.5 million followers, you know, the Jordan brothers, the Joe whatever, all that. I don't even know who those brothers are, but I'm assuming that they're like the new kids on the block of this era. You know, I don't know who the hell they are, but whatever. You know, the guy. You know, not only that, I don't know if anyone noticed. After Garcia after he won, the ring girl gave him a hug, this is a hot ring girl. This is the brunette one. Gave him a hug, and I'm like, damn, what? I mean, because. This girl was towering with her heels on. She's like, she was 6 feet tall. But that being said, that's just bullshit. Garcia, did we see improvements? It takes some time, people. It was his first camp with his new training, with a new trainer. I will say this. He wasn't tucking the chin in. He was reaching back as he pulled back. With his right, was it right or left? I forgot. It was he was doing it not completely down, but open for the counter. And from what I saw in his last fight on Facebook, he doesn't have the best chin. I mean, he has a chin, and they checked it, and he didn't get skanky legged, but he wobbled. So if it's the new trainer that he has, which is, I believe it's Canelo's trainer, correct?
Yeah, he's pretty much with Canelo's team now.
He's Canelo's team, which, thank God. We're going to see some good stuff because he's very young. I think he's very good for where he's at. I think he's overinflated. He's overhyped. He himself overhypes himself. So, I don't, you know what I'm saying? He's good. He's got a lot of things he's got to work on. And I actually agree with De La Hoya giving him the class of fighters that he's giving him so far. Because you put that, you put Garcia in with a tank, that's it. You ruined. Did you laugh or cough?
That was me, sorry.
Cough.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were laughing. Yeah. You put him in with Tank, and then Golden Boy's new Golden Boy is. You know what I'm saying? Brown boy.
No, I agree. With all his, you know, Twitter and mouthing off to Tank Davis, he needs to stop all that. I think Ryan's a talented fighter for sure. The move was absolutely necessary. He needed to get with Canelo's team. I'm glad his dad, I think Felix told me that it was actually his dad's idea. He even said, you go with them, which is amazing because the dad had to go. So maybe Canelo's team can teach him a few things. And like you pointed on, I've been noticing in his fights, he doesn't tuck his chin. That head gets left out. He pulls back without raising his gloves up to block. I see holes in Ryan, But like you also said, it takes time. I did see a calmer fighter. I think Canelo's camp made him calmer in this fight, because in the fight before, where you mentioned that he got rocked, those last three or four rounds were really tough. He dominated the first six, and then, yes, he got his chin checked a little bit. And that's kind of an observation I've had about Ryan Garcia. I think he's a great boxer. I don't think he's a great fighter. That might not make sense to a lot of people, but if he can keep it a pure boxing match, let's say like Floyd Mayweather would have, you know, an ideal Floyd fight, keeping it real, pure boxing, Ryan's going to do great. You stick him in there with someone who wants to roughhouse, wants to make it an inside fight, shove him around, get a little bit gritty and raw, maybe like, Tank Davis. I don't see that going well. Not yet. So I
not yet.
That Oscar, you know, keeps the level they're doing. They're throwing him in there with some vets, with some wins, you know, not complete. I hate the word bum, but y'all know it, y'all, yeah. It's better on the reference scale. Y'all know what I mean. He's not bums, but they're not great. These are good fights for Ryan. Let Canelo's team build. Let's see what happens. I'm anxious to see. I'm tired of hearing about the Instagram following. I don't care about all that crap. I want to see what he does in the damn ring. So we'll see what that brings to the future. And the highlight of the night, Canelo murders Rocky Fielding in three of the most one-sided beatdown rounds I've seen in a while for a big fight like that. I'll just let you go ahead. You take 2 or 3 minutes, give your opinions on the fight and what you think about Canelo doing this type of fight and what you think he should do next, and then I'll give the same opinion.
Absolutely. I just want to start off first by this. I want everyone to know, Canelo from Mayweather to Triple G1 was a great fighter, right? Canelo from Triple G2 to Saturday is an elite, top-notch fighter, right? I want to say that first because everyone continues to say that I'm hate. And I don't like his attitude. And people are probably like, well, how the fuck would you know who he is? I'll tell you why. My wife's friend in Colombia dated him for 6 months prior to the Mayweather camp, when he knocked out I forgot the whole order, dated him, and she basically said the guy throws roid fits if his Saratoga water is in a certain temperature. So what you see of Canelo not learning English, his pompous, that's not an act. See, Mayweather was an act. You see what I'm saying? Mayweather's products, Floyd Mayweather Jr., and set the blueprint. He got the La Jolla blueprint and made it even better. And I'll tell you why, how he even made it even better. Because De La Hoya was the good guy. So people always want to see the good guy win, right? Right. Mayweather was the bad guy. And Mayweather made it very simple. You pay me to see me win. You pay to see me lose. Regardless, you pay me. That blueprint was phenomenal. But everyone knows that was an act. Why? Look at it. Look at his track record from the Olympics where they robbed the blind of the gold to when he converted to money. Man, that man got on his knees when he beat Arturo Gatti in tears. You want to know why? Because that man at that moment said, I fucking made it. Thank you, Lord. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen Canelo. So that's my beef for Canelo. It's that pompous. So I just want to get that very clear to Sweet Science and everyone else listening. I have from an objective standpoint, he is elite, phenomenal. He's top three, no doubt. I just think the fight Saturday was a business move and not a real bout. And by that, I'm gonna make it quick because I know I'm taking up time, Dustin. By that I mean, Dazen just made a contract with him for what was it, $350 million guarantee, whatever, blah blah blah, and 9 fights, right? obviously they're not going to put the first fight a Charlo brother, Triple G, or Jacobs where he can lose. So what did they do? Very smart. They tried to build a great card, which they did, but Lemieux can't make the weight no more, and Virgil's opponent bowed out. So I was actually looking forward for the Virgil bout more than anything else, because I knew exactly what the Canelo bout was. The Canelo bout, what it was a showcase to the casual, to the market. Look, this is Canelo Alvarez versus a belt holder. I'm not going to disrespect Rocky Fielding, because I refuse to. But it literally seemed that Rocky went into that fight like, all right, I'm going to lose. I know I'm going to lose. And I'm going to try to make it look like I want to fight, and I'll get up. That's it. That's all I got to say. I don't know what else to say. That's my spiel, Dustin.
Finish up your Canelo with who do you want to see him fight next the most?
Okay. My God, wow, that one. Honestly, I would love to see him fight Smith. He went to 168, right? Smith is 168. That fight will be bonkers, but that fight would not happen, because there's too much risk and not enough reward. Because no one knows besides Fanatics knows who Smith is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's about that I would love to see. Because Smith is as fundamentally sound as they come. And he ain't no... I mean, we saw what Smith did to Fielding in one round.
Yeah.
So that's a fight I would really want to see. The fight, I've already heard on the web, Jacob. And I want to take people back to Cinco de Mayo, the one that just passed, right? Remember, at Cinco de Mayo, Canelo's camp said, yeah, we're not fighting Triple G, this and that. And I don't know where, poof, the fight's done. Everyone thought it was a different opponent, this and that. I think they're doing the same thing for bargaining purposes with Jacob. I think. I may be wrong. You know, I'm not a fucking, you know what I'm saying, a gypsy, whatever. I can't read it. But they did the same thing with Canelo Triple G 2 prior to the signing that, you know, he wants too much, this and that. We're going to fight this other guy. And what happened? Boom. September 15th, Triple G versus Canelo 2. So, I truly think that fight will happen before the Jacob, even though the Jacob is all over the internet. But all over the internet doesn't mean shit. That probably means a distraction to what's really going on behind the scenes. As you know, Dustin, we hear probably 20% of the truth of what really occurs in the business, in the back end of the negotiations.
Right.
I haven't seen Charlo fight in such a long time. So I mean, Jacob, Charlo, or Triple G. I think Triple G will be the opponent. Do I want to see Triple G with Canelo again at 160? No, at 168 would it make a difference? I don't know. He's not gonna win unless he knocks him out. In fact, street science fast. Nobody will be able to win or beat Canelo unless they knock out Canelo. You're not going to win in the scorecards. There's still 8 fights left on that contract. This is a business. This isn't the United Way. So that, with that being said, I'm done with that, Dustin.
Alrighty.
And
so,
the duckies.
Whoa! What was that? Anyway, and it was actually. He's actually got 10 more. I believe it was a $365 million 11 fight deal. So they got the first one out the way. So now they still got 10 more there. And here's my thoughts on the fight. I've been holding back on the internet. I've been seeing the hate. I've been seeing the love. I see it go both ways. And to be honest, I expect people to expect me to hate on this fight. But I might shock you with what I'm about to say. Because I have zero problem with Saturday's fight. The more and more I started to think about it, let's see. Rocky Fielding is a top 10 168 fighter. So you have a tough fight. Then you go have a slightly easier fight. It happens every now and then. He just got out of the Triple G rematch, which was a war, and he went just a couple months later with a new fight. I can understand having an easier fight. Some might call it, a lighter touch, whatever. But then you really have to step back and look at it from another angle. Because, I'm even going to defend Canelo a little bit here, which I don't do all the time. The people that want to hate on Canelo, but want to defend people like Tank Davis. Okay, Tank Davis comes back after a long layoff in his last fight, which was, a million years ago? And he fights a dude from 126, not a natural 130, coming off of a huge layoff from a loss. Now, when you want to look at a quote-unquote lighter touch, that is the way you do it. Canelo actually moved up in weight to fight a top 10 guy in this new foreign weight class, who I guess had a belt. It's tough for me to say it. We all know that's not a real belt. And if you don't know that, it's not a real belt. So I have no problem with the Canelo fight because of the way he looked. Now, had he got in there and made a weird, close, semi-close fight, maybe even gone to the end or a decision, who knows what I would have thought. But he got in there, I can't state it enough, with a top 10 168 for his first time at 168, and he murdered him. He blew through him. So, like Sergio said earlier, he, in my opinion, we've seen Canelo go from pretty good to great to unbelievable. I think he really is at an elite level. The way he handled Rocky, it blew my mind. I had bets on Bovada and stuff, and I'd banked a lot of money. Well, not a lot of money, but on the last three rounds. I said it on the last podcast. I just, for weeks and weeks and months, I've been thinking, around 9 or 10, he'll get him in the 9th or the 10th. I never thought he'd come out and in the first round put him down, in the second round put him down, and then the third round just pummel this man. So I have no problem with the Canelo fight, especially because of the way he looked. Now, it's tough for me to really give him credit for being a new champion in that weight class, because that's not a belt. That is an ornament, little trinket, little something you buy at a gift shop. That ain't a belt. So, did this fight have any standings or rankings for my pound-for-pound list? None whatsoever. But I already had Canelo in my top three. He goes back and forth from two and three. He's probably my number two. This fight didn't help nor hurt. I mean, it kept him where he was. Let me clear it up even more. Had he moved up and fought Callum Smith and took the real belt, Canelo's number one pound for pound, even over Bud Crawford. But this was not that. He went up, yes, a top 10, but a weaker guy, and picked up a basically non-existent belt. So it didn't move him up in the pound for pound, but he's still my number two. And I think Canelo is slowly... Yeah, I mean, he may be number one day. And like Sergio said, a lot of people think that I hate Canelo. And I don't love the business moves that they make. I don't love a lot of the things that float around. I don't love Oscar and Golden Boy and the drama and the weird stuff that's always behind that and the lies and, the two drug fills, which we always must remember. Things like that spin around in my head, and it make me not like Canelo. I don't necessarily have a problem with his personality per se, like Sergio said. I'm okay with Canelo. I just don't like the things that follow him. But if you can throw all that aside, when he gets into the ring, he's unbelievable, man. And people can think I'm a hater. I keep it real, just like Sergio said. We keep it real, even if it pains me to say it sometimes. Canelo's the man. Like, Canelo looked amazing, and like Sergio also said, I want to see Callum Smith. And I'm starting to see things circulate on the internet that maybe they're discussing it with Callum Smith. But I'm pretty reluctant. That is a fight that we'll see. If Canelo takes the fight with Callum Smith, you will never hear me say another negative thing about that man ever in my life or his career. because that's it. If he moves up, if he stays at 168 and goes and fights Callum Smith, he's a G. I don't care if he wins or loses. That's a G move. I want Triple G to do a Triple G move and fight Callum Smith. I don't know if that's going to happen. I keep seeing hints about it, but now all of a sudden the Canelo, even though Canelo said he was moving back down to 160, now it's floating around that he may fight Smith. And if he does, hats off, hats off. That is a gangster move. I think he'll stay at 160. I have a feeling the Jacobs fight would happen. Jacobs got into the ring that night. Stuff like that doesn't really typically happen unless there's something set up behind it. But they may string it along, like Sergio touched on. He's got 10 more fights. That's why they're not in a rush. They've got 10 fights. They don't want him to take anything crazy right out the gate. And this was a great breakout fight. All casual fans know who Canelo is, but I guess you could be real casual, like in your pajamas casual, and you don't know who Canelo is. Well, Saturday taught you about him. You've got DAZN. You don't have to do pay-per-view. It's $10 a month. You got to see him go out and roast a dude three rounds or less. Owned him. That is good for boxing. If you didn't know Canelo, now you know Canelo. If you loved Canelo, you might still love Canelo. If you hated Canelo, you may hate him even more. But you're going to keep watching. Yeah. It's turning into Floyd stuff right now. So
it's not there yet. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I haven't seen a boxer reach Floyd hate level ever. He's not close to Floyd, but you say, I mean, what was the post that Dustin? What was the post on the Street Science class that I don't know what I was talking about, and all of a sudden, Floyd Mayweather, and you post, what does Floyd got to do? You remember the gift? Right? Like, what? Like, this thread was about, I don't even know what it was about anymore. I don't even know. All of a sudden, it turns into a Floyd hate. Bro, you could be talking about heavyweights. You could be talking about Tyson Fury, AJ, Ortiz, somewhere. Yeah. But Floyd dodged them all. What the fuck? Like, what the fuck? What are you talking about, bro?
I do agree.
We're talking about heavyweights, bro. How did 147 just come in? You know what I'm saying? Andre Ward and, you know, Joe Cow and Bernard Hopkins, you know, imagine their prime. This is not, and yeah. Bro, why did Floyd fucking always dodge? Like, what the fuck? You know, Canelo's getting there. Canelo's getting there, and it's because of his. Notice how he doesn't learn English, bro. Cotto learned English, bro. Triple G, who grew up in a country that their words, their alphabet, and the root of their language is not even Latin. Or German, or Germanic, like English is. It's another root. He can speak English. who's been in the spotlight less than Canelo? So, I think that, and that's why his countrymen don't like him either. And you see it all over the board. Not me pitching. You hear what they say. Ching, este chingón, este no es chingón, este una puta madre. Bro, they're saying vulgarities about Canelo. They really are.
Yeah, I've seen that. I have to hit the translation button, but I'm always amazed at the things I see. Like, he really does have a lot of people from Mexico that don't like him, but maybe that's good. Maybe it can be like the Floyd thing. And I do agree. Floyd's probably the most hated. I saw a post today that had something to do with Canelo and Callum Smith. I swear to you, Canelo and Callum Smith. In the comments, I saw Floyd getting brought up, and I was like, okay, I'm moving on to the next post because this is insane. How does he get brought up all the time? But, yeah, so that's pretty much where we stand on Canelo. I'm just very curious to see what he does in May. Charlo, Triple G, Jacobs, Smith. There's a lot of good right. treats out there, and he's got to fight them, and we'll see what happens. So let's put the weekend behind us. We will just quickly move into all of the fights this Saturday. I'm just going to run down the fights, and then we'll we'll touch a little bit on them. There's not a lot to say. Saturday, there is three separate cards. One of them on ESPN Plus is the Josh Warrington versus Carl Frampton fight. That's going to be a pretty sweet fight. Now, on the undercards, I didn't write their opponents, but I just we'll see appearances from Michael Conlon, Martin Murray, and Billy Joe Saunders, who is making his return since having his belt stripped and failing for asthma inhaler, drug, black market crap. Who knows what he was doing? And he's coming back against a very low-level guy. But we'll get to see him back, like I said, with Martin Murray and Michael Conlon. The Warrington Frampton's the main event. On a separate card on Showtime, you've got the Dillian White versus Chisora 2 rematch, heavyweight showdown. And on Fox, you've got the Charlo brothers headlining. They each got a big fight. Do you have anything to throw in on the Warrington Frampton?
To be honest with you, I don't. You know, and like I said, I refuse to label what Frampton is good. I would have to see his face. I can't even recall last time I saw Warrington bow. But no, I really don't. I think next week it's really the heavyweight bout, and let's see how Billy Joe Saunders looks.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, the Warrington Frampton, like I'm excited to see it because I'm a boxing fan, but I don't have a lot to say about it. Frampton's really good. He's only got the one loss, I believe, to Santa Cruz, who he also beat. Warrington's undefeated. It could be a really close fight. Pretty excited to see that. Yeah, we'll see how Billy Joe Saunders looks. White Chisora, too. I believe that might steal the show for the weekend. I don't know if anybody saw the first fight. It was a pretty good fight. White won the fight. It's been a few years. Chisora looks like he is in the best shape of his life. The pictures that are going around almost freaked me out, man. He looks incredible. It's like he's taking this very, very serious, and he's coming off knocking Carlos Takam smooth out after losing every round. He knocked him cold in the eighth round. So this is an exciting fight. White has been improving and will probably, you would think, win another fight. But Chisora's got that wild card. He can knock you out if it comes to it. And, like I said, he's looking in really, really good shape. And then you got the Fox. You got the Charlo bros. Big brother Jermall. His opponent, Willie Monroe Jr. God, man, I feel like I'm saying every week someone's failing for something. He got popped for testosterone.
It's boxing, of course. They're taking stuff that Balco ahead of Balco that's under man. I don't know. I personally when the ones that get caught are really stupid because they go the cheap route. If you go the expensive Walter White route, bro. Remember Barry Bonds, the rub and the clear. That it was like a lotion, but it was a growth hormone. I mean, this was a Balco, dude. You don't think 10, 12, 15 years later, that era, you don't think that there's laboratories in Mexico, in Europe, in Romania, that are making things that are so cutting edge that no tests, no nothing, because they've never seen it before. You can't make a test to detect something if you've never seen it before. And I'm not talking about testosterone. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about growth hormones. You know what I'm saying? I see these guys like, you know, and I'm not going to point, but Canelo looked really, 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 really stocky at 168. You know, again, he did go up 8 pounds, so we got to take that into account. But there was a lot of rip in that mass, and I'm not saying that he did or didn't do. Obviously, he got caught with PEDs, but that's just my take.
Yeah, it's like people are just failing right and left. So Willie Monroe Jr. lost lost a really good opportunity to take out Jermall. So substituting for him will be Matt Korobov. His only loss was to Andy Lee. Some think this may actually be a slightly better fight. I don't know if I can get on board with that. Korobov's a good fighter, but he's stepping in on 1 week notice. I don't care who it is. If you're stepping in on 1 week notice when Willie Monroe had 2 or 3 months, I don't see how this can be a better fight. But if Jermall can stop Korobov, that'll look really, really good. And then you got Jermell, the smaller one, going up against Tony Harrison. It should be okay. Jermell should win. There should be really no reason that we don't see both Charlo brothers with their hand raised this Saturday night. They might not be the greatest fights, but they will be entertaining, and B, in my opinion, these are big stepping stone fights because Jermall will beat Korobov, and I'm seeing people now say that Triple G may be in mandatory again. WBC might make Charlo and Triple G supposedly fight. I know that was supposed to happen at one point, and it didn't. Yeah, I'm reading that it's going to happen again if he gets by Korobov. And when Jermell beats Harrison, that should get us a little bit closer to the Hurd fight, the Jared Hurd-Jermell fight. So, you know, no matter what we think, these might not be the greatest Charlo Brothers fights, but they should both win. They should both be entertaining matches, and it should stick them both in really big fights. And that's what we need to see the Charlo Brothers in. They've been around long enough. We need to see them against some top, top dudes. And I'm not hating. I like the Charlos. I like what I see. But it's like a lot of the PBC guys. Tank Davis, who I touched on earlier. A little bit to Errol Spence. Kind of going back to what I said about the lighter touch with Canelo moving up to 168. Spence fighting Little Loma. Come on. Little Loma. What am I talking about? Little Mikey. That to me is a lighter touch. That's why I have no problem with what Canelo did. I have no problem with what the Charlos are doing.
No. Well, Canelo was a business move. And a very, very great business move.
Yes.
Got exposure in a drastic fashion, right? Because what do fans love? Knockouts and knockdowns.
And he fought a bigger guy. That's always.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But everyone knew that, you know. Everyone, in fact, Rocky knew that. Just look at his. Look, I'm huge. Huge on body language, and I'll never forget when I saw the movie Hands of Stone. Robert De Niro that played Duran's trainer, who discovered Duran, would always, and this is true, would always comb his hair in between rounds. And Duran asked him, "Why do you always comb my hair?" He goes, "Because when you go out there and your opponent sees you, he sees you, and you look good and fresh."
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Form is so, bro. That he really did that. I mean, I can show you the fight when before the mob told I forgot his name. I had his name between my tongue. Told him he couldn't train. He couldn't be in boxing no more, or they would kill him. And they almost did kill him. But he would literally, you would see him with a comb Durant's hair, and Durant would come out slick back. You know what I mean? And he said, "Why do you do that?" He's like, "Because your opponent took it at you, and you look good." So in his mind, he's like, "What the fuck? You know what?" And I completely agree with form. Rocky's face—I mean, either he was constipated, had the runs, or was shitting bricks. I don't know which one of the three, because he—what did he do? Nothing. So we knew this from the beginning, and when I saw his demeanor, everything, I'm like, "Oh, this is gonna be short and quick and sweet." And it was exactly what it was meant for. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. I have no problem with that. Now, everyone is like, you know, "Oh, is now Canelo the best at 168? Wow, I don't know. Maybe he should fight Smith, or if Bivol drops to 168, fight Bivol.
Fight Zerto.
Who else? Who do we have at 168?
Zerto.
You?
Zerto.
Zerto. Zerto. Zerto. But Zerto would be. I would probably put him third in line of the two before.
Still, he could take a real belt.
I agree. Better than Rocky.
Yep, not that fake belt. Take a real belt.
I don't even know what to call that.
But and I'm with you. I'm very, very big on body language. I learned a lot about body language. It sounds funny, but back when I used to do a lot of my battle rapping, I became a big. I was big on body language. I could just read when people would be really feeling the pressure, and like clockwork, when you see that, almost always they would make a mistake. And I was seeing the same thing from Rocky all night and all the interviews, all the behind the scenes. I was like, man, that man is nervous. He's got some bad body language going around with him. So I don't know how we got back. The bigger fighter. So, yeah. Well, then on the flip side, I see the excitement for Mikey Spence because Mikey is fighting the bigger guy. But if you love Spence and you hate Canelo, you make no sense to me because you're contradicting yourself. And I just had to get that in there. You know, I got to even, you know, I'll attack Canelo from now and then. But I got to keep it real. You can't hate on one guy and respect another guy when they're doing almost the same thing. You have to call a spade a spade. You have to look at it real.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty much the whole weekend. So we've touched on the last fights from last weekend. We've touched on the upcoming fights for this weekend. It's pretty much all we had to talk about this week. But before we wrap it up, I'm going to let Sergio end it with some really big news that he passed on to Felix and me yesterday. We've been keeping it secret. I was going to let him announce it on the podcast. And, of course, I was going to let him announce it himself because this is through him. So take it away, Sergio. Big news.
Yeah, I just wanna tell the sweet science class that I was surprised. Happily surprised. I get tongue twisted. I was reached out by Kelly Pavlik to
Kelly the to Ghost write. Pavlik, baby, pro
the,
boxer.
The
looking
Ghost, the former the ghost. Middle, former lineal middleweight champion of the world. He beat the man that beat the man that beat the man. And he reached out. He actually IM'd me, called me through IM, bit, whatever, not video, but IM thing. And goes, look, check this out. Would you be interested? We got great feedback from media coverage you did down in Atlanta. We've seen your writing. Would you be interested in sharing your writing in our forum, being part of the media team and covering bouts with us and big bouts? You know, he's like, once a month, we get tickets to the big bouts, and you join us and write about it, and also write up your editorials. We think your editorials are phenomenal. And I was so shocked. I was getting ready for dinner, Dustin, with my wife. It was a team meeting dinner with one of my clients that. I was like stuttering. I had to take a Klonopin to calm down and drink a beer. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is my dream. You know, I'm not getting paid. I'm still the sweet science. Let me just keep it very clear. I am still the sweet science class. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is this new opportunity that's opened up another outlet where hopefully one day I can quit this shit that I do to pay bills, and I can wake up every morning and live my passion and not wake up to work. So thank you, Dustin, for first of all, thank you for teeing that up, and thank you for everything. For the sweet science to know that when everyone kicked me out of their boxing forum, and trust me, I've been kicked out of a lot of forums, you can ask Bernie, you can ask Lee, and you can ask, I'm just blanking out right now, Julian. I have been kicked out of, I would say, counting off the top of my head, before, five. It was five total. And I remember, I was a member of the Sweet Science class, and I'm going to make this quick, Dustin. And I got on Sweet Science class, and I'm like, you know, I just posted, you know, I'm like, well, guys, I get kicked out of every forum. Hopefully you guys don't kick me out. And then it begun. And Dustin reached out to me. He goes, look, We love the way you're very candid. Your knowledge, your history knowledge. Would you like to be part of the team? I'm like, are you kidding me? They kick me out of every team. I'm never part of the team. I'm the stinky kid that, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you got to put him in for 2 minutes because his parents paid the fees for the season, right? So you got to put him in for 2 minutes, okay? That's the rules. It's in the bylaws. And Dustin gave me the opportunity to expand, and here another outlet opens up where I will be representing the Sweet Science Clinic. That does not change. The only thing that changes is that I'm going to be another outlet, my material, which is just an opportunity for the Sweet Science class, for me, for everyone, to one day, instead of doing my passion, which I love, and in fact, I not only am I doing it for free, I would pay to do this. That's how much I love this. I can wake up and go to bed every day, and my wife will hate me, probably the soulmate will divorce me, and do this for free. But I gotta pay a mortgage, I gotta pay electricity, I need to buy food, I need to give my wife things. I, you know what I'm saying? And so, unfortunately, I need to do what I hate doing to pay bills. But I would pay to do this. I would pay a subscription to do what I'm doing. That's how much I love it. And I just wanted to tell that to the Sweet Science class. Love you guys. Love the Sweet Science team. All the usuals, you know, the Hakeems, the James, the Bernies, everyone, man. Joe, love all you guys. JoJo, I know you detest. Is it JoJo the test? Yeah, JoJo the test is Mayweather, right? Because I'm always in beef with JoJo.
JoJo a little.
A little, huh? A little. But yeah, I just wanted to share that news, and God bless, man. Thank you, Dustin.
Yeah, man, and congrats to Sergio. That's amazing news. And yeah, maybe the Sweet Science class can kind of do some co-op for the Punchline. That, yeah, for anyone not, you know, it's the Punchline. Y'all need to start watching that. They do a weekly video Facebook, kind of a podcast thing, and it's Kelly Pavlik and his friend, and they discuss everything. It's called the Punchline. So maybe, you know, maybe we can get Sweet Science class kind of teamed up with that through Sergio killing his writings. And maybe, just maybe, I can get me a phone interview with Kelly the Ghost.
Absolutely. Like I said, everything is possible. Everything is possible as long as you don't give up. And I didn't give up. I didn't give up. I didn't give up. Absolutely. I'm a rookie to this. It's, you know, I already got, like, the whole spiel about, okay, Sergio, you can't disappoint James, because it was James at one point. James and Kelly are like, you can't disappoint. You cannot talk about De La Hoya with, you know, a dough roller. You can't, because then they'll ban you from Golden Boy promotion events, and then it doesn't work out with us. You can't do things like that. And they gave me the whole spiel of rules. I'm like, look, guys, look, one thing I've learned, I got two things, like Tony Montana. I got my balls and my word. I don't break it for no one. And this opportunity, I'm not going to break it for no one, man. So I'm just keeping it real, Kelly. That's it, bro. That's it, Dustin, man.
And to finish it off and get a little corny, I agree with what he said about you just have to not stop if you want to do something. Because I was actually talking to Felix and Sergio the other day. It was less than 2 years ago that I started the Sweet Science Class page. And I don't know if a lot of people know the reason I made it. I was just always trying to tell people about the upcoming fights. That's all I would do. I would be like, y'all need to watch this fight Saturday. Because I'm pathetic. And I love boxing. And I had nobody to watch with. So I was basically just begging people, like, just like boxing. Go watch this fight. I want you to like my sport. And people started asking me more and more. So one day I'm like, I'm going to make a page just so these 50 people can follow and see what's going on and stay in the news. That was a year and a half ago, and it was really slow at first, and there was even times when I wanted to just give up because no one really cared. I could post and post and post and nothing would happen. No one cared. It'd get no likes. We had like 100 followers, but I stuck with it, and I got people who wanted to stick with it too, aka Felix and Sergio. And here we are, a year and a half later. Our page just broke 5,000 likes. We're actually like at 5,200 now, a couple days after breaking it. Our group's blowing up. We got like this huge following. We're nothing big. We're not making money. We're no better than any other boxing fan out there. We just wanted to be a part of it. We just wanted to talk about it and have people maybe listen to us and maybe discuss it with us. No money's being made off this. This is all for fun. But a year and a half ago, this podcast would have been a joke. It would have been a laugh. Like, no, it would have never happened. I had no followers, barely a page, no team, no podcast. And now, here we are. Got a podcast. The page is blowing up. Sergio is writing so good that Kelly the freaking ghost is reaching out to him. So, like, all you got to do is try and just don't give up. It doesn't matter. It may suck for a while. You may not make no money. We might never make money off of this, but I'm not going to stop doing it. So that's it. Just to get a little corny ending, all you just try. Just don't give up. It doesn't matter. If you want to do it, do it. And maybe something good will come from it. And it sounds like Sergio may end up having that happen. So we all wish Sergio congrats. Hopefully, one day, I can get me an interview with Kelly the Ghost. I can't tell you how bad I want that to happen. But we'll wrap it up.
We'll make it happen, buddy. We'll make it happen.
We will make that happen.
We have to. Hey, look, like you said, look where you started, look where you're at, man. God bless, and that's it, bro. That's it. It always happens. If that's how the universe works.
And the exciting and funny and maybe even scary part is a year and a half from now, we might be looking back at today and thinking, wow, we weren't anything at all. We may double and triple and quadruple what we have right now. So just don't stop, baby. All we wanted to do was watch boxing and talk boxing. And look at us now, man. We ain't big. We just having fun. So thank you for following our podcast. I'm going to start saying the Sweet Science Class family. I always say Sweet Science Class fans. I don't mean that y'all are fans of us. I mean, you're a fan of the sport. But we are family. So thank you, Sweet Science Class family, for tuning into our podcast every week. Congrats to Sergio. We wish Felix the best of luck with the situations he's handling today and the reason he could not be here. Any final notes, Sergio?
No, I'm done. I love you. I love the Sweet Science Class family. Take care and see you shortly.
See you next week. That's episode 8. Yeah. Bye.
Take care, Dustin.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and I really hope you enjoyed it. As always, I thank Sergio and Felix for being a part of the Sweet Science Class team. And until next time, remember to keep the science sweet.